got some text of visitors coming tonight, so I prepared accordingly. They don't seem to be here. Just a few notes for you before we take a look at some scriptures and maybe do some praying. And I want to just give you a whatever blessing the Lord will give. And I know that He blesses us through His scriptures. And I'm going to ask you a question tonight. And it is, are you a scorner? Are you a scorner? I want to ask myself this, and I want to ask you. And I want you to listen to the Holy Ghost and ask yourself. I want to walk through the scriptures so we may discern our Lord's teaching against scorners. And the irony, of course, is that if you are a scorner, you're not going to hear what we teach on tonight anyway. Because that's what scorners do. They shut down. And but perhaps there will be repentance and a change of heart. And any who are on their way to becoming a scorner may hear and change directions. And it's my hope and prayer that these lessons will also help us work together, stay in unity, and thereby accomplish much. And I want unity, and we're not going to always have unity of opinion and idea and thought, but we can have unity of spirit. We can have unity where we have the same goals, the same goal to be pleasing to the Lord and glorify Him. And when we work together, the Lord is able to bring unity in thought. But one of the things that hinders unity is scorning. And I'm not going to call everyone who disagrees a scorner. That's ridiculous. But a lot of times there is scorning that can hinder any work. You might find yourself walking around with a scorning spirit, a bad attitude. And dear Lord, I do pray that You'll bless the preaching now of Your Word. I thank You for these good brethren, what they've meant to my life, the support, the fruit that we see in their lives, Lord. Let them not listen to the devil in anything, Lord. Get distracted. Get a spirit of fear. A spirit of covetousness. As Demas loved this present world, I do pray You bless them. Keep them on fire. Let them see what You've already built, Lord. That it be not tore down by good intentions. We do pray for Your blessing upon us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 1 says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? First lesson we learn from the Holy Bible about scorning is that scorners like their attitude. They think they're being smart. They think they're being witty. A scorner loves to hear himself scorned. What does it mean to scorn? It says, Webster's Dictionary, extreme contempt. That disdain which springs from a person's opinion of the meanness of an object, meaning lowness. A consciousness or belief of his own superiority or worth. You're looking down. Oxford says it's to treat with ridicule. So scorners ridicule. They have bad attitudes. It says in Proverbs 3, surely, talking about God, He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace unto the lowly. So God's going to look down upon some scorners, but He's going to lift up the lowly and the humble. And this is interesting because it shows here that what a scorner should do is give grace. And a scorner does not give grace. A scorner gives no charity. A scorner will not give the benefit of the doubt. They're quick to judge. Quick to criticize. Quick to rail. Hyper-defensive. A scorner does not give grace. And God says, well, I tell you what, you don't give grace and you walk around with this high-minded, bad attitude. Well, how about I get a bad attitude to you? In regard to you. The Lord does not sin, but He doesn't have to give His grace, does He? No. To see the problem with scorners, look at Proverbs 9. As we walk through Proverbs, this is what we're doing. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And we learn here that there's a contrast between the scorner and the wise man. So we also see the wise man contrasted to the fool. So a scorner is a what? A fool. And so we learn that if a person's wise and you give instruction to them, you reprove them, they'll be wiser. They'll say, thank you. That blesses me. If you rebuke a scorner, oh, you get that bad attitude, don't you? You get what the Bible calls a blot. You can't rebuke a scorner. The Bible says don't even try. Don't even try. Let them be. And that's not a blessing. It's not a blessing when your boss at work says, well, he doesn't ever get on to me. He knows better. No, that's not a blessing to you. See, if your pastor ever says, well, I'm not even gonna get on to him about it. That's not a blessing. You understand? If you got such a bad attitude that people around you tend to say, I'm not even going to mess with him. That's not good. That's a curse to you. That's a curse. Proverbs 13 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. There it is again. Wise, contrasted to the scorner. The scorner has a problem being corrected, doesn't he? The scorner has a problem with correction. Now, based upon what you already know about the scorner, look at Proverbs 14. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Why can't a scorner ever find wisdom? He won't listen. He won't listen. Well, what do you mean? And so, a scorner comes to church. But does he ever grow in church? No. He's not going to listen. A scorner might go for counseling. Admonition. But it's not going to matter. You're not going to listen. So a scorner seeketh wisdom, but findeth it not. And I put, he does not find it because he's not willing to receive it when it's found. He's like that king that wanted, you know, and they said, well, is there nobody else in Israel that's a prophet that can direct us? And the king, tell me now, what should we do? Will we be victorious? Well, he's pretending that he really wants to have wisdom. But the truth of the matter is, he didn't want to hear. So the prophet began to mock him and told him what he wanted to hear. A companion verse is Proverbs 17. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? So the fool comes and he has in his hand money. I'd like some wisdom. And the Bible's laughing and saying, you're not going to pay for it. You don't really have a heart to pay the price of wisdom because you have to humble yourself to really grow in wisdom. You have to humble yourself. And the scorner is not going to humble himself. He doesn't really seek wisdom. Proverbs 15. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Talking about with a sincere heart. If he ever goes to the wise, it's not with sincerity. And this shows that a wise man loves those that reprove him in love because they understand that they're just trying to better them. Hey, if you're a wise son, you'll love your father when he gets on to you about things that are going to help you in life. You'll appreciate it. You'll say, I got a good father that cares for me, is watching over me, is trying to help me learn life values in this short little time he has to do it before that arrow's released. But what will a scorner as a son do? He just kicks against it the whole time he's under his father's. He just can't wait for that day when he can get out from under that. He calls it bondage, and he's free now. Free to do what? Just mess his whole life up. Look at Proverbs 19. Smite a scorner. We've already heard you might as well just ignore them. And now you hear there's an application to smite them. But he said don't reprove them. So there's really two things you can do to a scorner according to the Bible. Ignore them or smite them. Well, why would I ever smite a scorner? If he's not going to hear my reproof, why would I smite him? Well, he tells you, only one reason. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. So why should I smite a scorner? Is it for him? No. Who's it for? The ones around him. Reprove one that hath understanding. Oh, now he doesn't get smitten. He gets a reproof. Why? Because he'll listen. And he will understand knowledge. Wow. So, any smiting of the scorner is retribution for the purpose of those around him. Rebuking a wise man is reformation for him to make him wiser. It's for him. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment. And the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners and strife for the back of fools. There's our connection again between the scorner and the fool. Family Bible note says scorners are smitten for the good of others. Men of understanding are reproved for their own benefit. There you go. So notice the scorner must be smitten. And as I've already said, even then it's mainly retribution so that others may fear. But a wise man will respond to mere reproof and will thereby be reformed. Walking through the book of Proverbs, we come to Proverbs 21. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Okay, that's what we learned earlier. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So notice, he gets instructed, the scorner gets punished. Meaning the wise person, he doesn't need to be punished. He's just going to hear the words of reproof. Proverbs 21, verse 24, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Now don't miss this. Proud and haughty scorner is his name. This is interesting. Proud and haughty scorner is his name. What's your name? That's your reputation, isn't it? Matthew Poole, the old Puritan, says, proud and haughty scorner is his name. Instead of that respect and glory which he seeks by such courses, he shall be branded with the title and imputation of an arrogant and scornful person, which is most contemptible and hateful to mankind. Who dealeth in proud wrath, who in the conduct of his affairs and dealings in the world is not governed by reason and justice, but by his own pride and passion. So, this man is known for his pride and passion, but he has a reputation for being a scorner. Keep that in your mind. Scorners think they're being wise, and they think they have a reputation for everyone admiring them. But secretly, sometimes, the people around them view them as somebody with a bad attitude that you can't even speak to without flesh. Well, we've seen ignore them. We've seen smite them for the sake of others. And now we see in chapter 22, cast them out. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Bridges says this is a word to rulers. The scorner is a firebrand of contention in the church. So cast out the scorner, contention shall go out. Strife shall go, reproach. Proverbs 26 says, as coals are to burning coals, wood to the fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. When they're gone, you have peace. You rest. There's some women that are contentious and are scorners. And they will drive a church half mad. And when they leave or get cast out, everything's quiet. Everybody's getting along. Everybody has unity. And you're thinking, wow. Some men are like that. There's scorners in the workplace, scorners in churches. And there's strife always around them. Contention always around them. But when they're cast out, the water is calm. The casting out process is seen here in Matthew 18. Moreover, if thy brethren shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Do you tell your neighbor? No. You call up people on the telephone? Send out an email? No, you just talk to them, right? That's Bible. That's the Lord Jesus. That's what He said. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You might end up finding out that you were totally wrong about what you thought. But communication, it goes a long way, doesn't it? You know what a scorner does? A scorner doesn't say, you know what, I need to call him about that, talking to himself. You know what a scorner does? A scorner gets angry and just blabs his mouth. And he says, you know, blah, 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 they should not be doing this. You know, blah, blah, blah. And they start, and they just got that scorning attitude, that nasty, scorning, bitter spirit, that whiny spirit. It's almost like, have your sisters persecuted you growing up? I mean, because you've got this, like you've been bullied all your life, and you're still that little boy that's been bullied, and you're trying to stick your tongue out at your sisters or something. And there's people that walk around like that, and they're just bad news. Bad news. I'm not your sister, buddy. Amen? So let's communicate. Let's communicate. Amen? You don't have to walk around and scorn everybody. But if he will not hear thee, that's what a man does. A man says, Larry, I'd like to talk with you, brother, just you and me privately. But because, and you talk it out. Give him the opportunity to explain his side. Nobody needs to know about it. And the whole purpose is winning that friendship, keeping it where it's, you know, in the Lord. But if it's a serious issue, and you can't get it straight, what do you do then? You walk around and scorn them? You take two or three witnesses. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Meaning now you need a church council. Whatever it is, whether you have the men do it or you have some elected, you know, some churches just have the pastor settle it. The point is the church elects either the whole church or somebody to go deal with that, a committee. They deal with it. They pass judgment. The church approves it, and it's done. They're cast out. Why are they cast out? Because who did they scorn? They scorn the person, they scorn the witnesses, and they scorn the government of the whole church. And so you cast them out. Why? Because if you leave them in, then these people are ungovernable. They're ungovernable. They're not going to hear anybody. And you're to treat them as a heathen and a publican. A publican was a tax collector. He was despised, was he not? Because they always pocketed a lot of money on the side, see. They still do. And a heathen was somebody that didn't know God, just one of these heathen Gentiles. And the Bible said, treat him as someone like that. It's not a term of reproach. It's I can't allow you into the fellowship that we enjoy as long as you're going to be ungovernable. That's what the church is to say, you see. I think that's just a good reminder for us. As we proceed, passions run high. Energy, motivation, worry, stress, excitement. It's a good time to communicate, amen? It's a good time to communicate any grievances and problems. Now, this is very important. Look at Proverbs 24. The scorner is an abomination to men. Now, you think about this for a second. This is very enlightening. What did it say about the scorner's name? Proud and haughty scorner. That's his name. So that means others are saying that about him. He's arrogant, proud, he's a scorner. And now you get a confirmation here. The scorner is an abomination to men. Do bosses like scorners? No. Churches don't like scorners. Nobody that wants to do anything likes a scorner. And again, it's an attitude. It's not disagreeing. It's an attitude of communicating your disagreements without investigation. It's an attitude of not following Matthew 18. It's an act, and you'll find that people that are scorners, they don't just scorn their church. They scorn everybody around them. They hardly have any friends. Because unless somebody just bends over backwards to tolerate them, nice, good people in their life that tolerate them for the sake of love, the scorner has actually disconnected himself from everybody. And it's all because they have an attitude. They're quick to speak, quick to voice that nasty spirit, that whiny spirit. A perfect example of this is Nabal. It says up here, scorn is an abomination to men. Let's see this put into practice by illustration. Notice what Nabal's own servants said about him, showing what his name was among the men who knew him most. 1 Samuel 25. Do you remember the story of Nabal? Somebody tell me the story. Brother Mike. What did David want to do?
David just wanted to come over there and get refreshment when he was journeying long in the wilderness, and he had just protected his men, basically a shield from wild beasts and any other dangers that might have been out there, and he came back there and just wanted a little bit of refreshment, and Nabal just said, "Who is David?" And
Scorned him. Assume. You might have been somebody that's escaped, you know, and looked down upon David like he's dirt. Of course, then David got inflamed, got very upset, and pretty much vowed that every male is going to be dead. And that's when the servants, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household." But listen to what the servant said to the man's wife. "For he is such a son of Belial, that a man cannot speak to him." Well, that's an interesting thing to say to the man's wife, but it's a life and death situation. But that servant said, we all know he's such a son of Satan that you can't say a word to him. What do you think that servant... You know what? I think that was the opinion of all the servants. They worked for him because they had to. But that's how they viewed him. So that means an ordinary life. They say, well, why don't you speak to Nabal about this? Whatever their problem was, what do you think they would have said? Have you ever spoken to Nabal? You can't even lift a little finger to tell him he did something wrong without him getting whiny, without him railing on you, without this big emotional thing happening. Nabal's a big baby. Saul had got to a point where you couldn't reason with him. 1 Samuel 20, Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Saul had a lot of issues. Rebellion can make you that way. I don't think Saul was like that. I don't know. He had just rejected God and been in such rebellion lately that he had just lost his mind, you know. And finally, Hosea chapter 7. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. You got to watch who you hang around. You know where you get some of these spirits from? Sometimes you just grow up with it. You know, I hear my little boy. He's a precious little boy. Praise God for him. Such a good little fella. And I'm sure we all think our little boys are good. But he's just a good little fella. He minds me, you know. His spirit has been broken, and he's just a good little fella. But sometimes I'll catch him whining a little bit because sisters are picking on him. And I'll hear him whining, you know, and just kind of arguing in that way. And some people, they grow up like that, and they never have a daddy correct them. You never have a daddy correct that scorning. And it's sad. It's sad that you had to grow up and no father ever dealt with you about that attitude. But if I hear my boy doing that, and he doesn't know I'm around, boy, if he hears that I'm come in the house or I'm around, I tell you what, he will straighten up instantly and get a good attitude, you know. But I'll come in there and say, hey, I heard you whining, you know. No, no, we don't be a sissy boy. We don't whine like that. If there's a problem, I don't just want your sisters to persecute you. You can come tell me, or you can stand up and speak, but you're not going to sit here and do that little whining stuff, you know. Because if you don't watch out, those sisters will master him, persecute him, and he'll learn to whine and scorn to get back at them. And before you know it, he'll be effeminate. See? And he'll grow up one of these fellas you can't even speak to without him getting whiny. See? And you can do the same with brothers. I'm not saying you have to have sisters. I'm just saying that there's some folks that have never grown to be able to communicate. But I wanted to add one more thing to this, and that is, there's scorners in Hollywood, there's scorners in the music, there's scorners on the radio. And this king stretched out his hand with scorners. That means he was associating with them. A lot of these spirits that you picked up are not from the Holy Spirit. A lot of the ways we speak to one another, a lot of the ways you deal with correction, it didn't come from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from the Bible. And that's why the more we read the Bible, the more we glean that Spirit, see. We're changed into that image when we read it with the right heart. But if you just sit there all day and listen to Hollywood and them comedians and that whole world, they all have a bad attitude. And you'll walk around and you'll have that scorning attitude in your life, but that comes from not getting in the book. And finally, Job says, I am one mocked of his neighbor. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. And I believe he was stating a principle that if you are going to be godly, if you're going to walk and stand for God's standards, they're going to mock you. Amen? They're going to mock you. They're going to mock you. You're going to be scorned, ridiculed. You do what? You dress what? You believe this standard what? And they're going to scorn you and mock you. And hey, that's the cross you got to bear. That's, you know what the Lord said about all that? Well, not only do you rejoice, but you know what it says in Hebrews? He despised the shame. What did he think of the world's opinion? Who cares? He even argues, are you going to be ashamed of me in this perverse and adulterous generation? These people? You're embarrassed to be holy in front of them? Think of the Father and the angels and all of His glory. So I'm not yelling at you tonight. I'm wanting us all together as brethren to teach our children not to scorn, to teach them not to have that whiny little attitude. And us as men, that if we're going to get along with one another, let's watch that scorning stuff. Amen? And it's you might get hot, you might get cold, you might have a lot of problems, a lot of stress, but watch how you say things. You know, watch how you say things. And I don't mind you if you ever hear me do that. I try not to ever do that. But if you ever hear me whining and getting on to somebody, I hardly ever do that. I hope I hardly ever do that. But if you hear me point it out, say, hey, you're getting on to so-and-so, you know. I say, okay, I appreciate that. Or maybe I'll scorn you. I don't know. Hopefully I'll just say, amen, thank you for that. Any questions or comments? Preached it quick, but I pray the Lord will bless it in your life. Yes, sir.